Hello, friends, and welcome to the Personal Arrogance Podcast, episode number 107, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I am your host, Jesse Wilson, and with me this week, as always, is...
Eric Walquist. Thank you for listening, listener.
How are you, Eric?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am sunburned.
Yeah, enjoying the weather a little bit.
Yeah, I've been burned by the sun. See, I work partially outside, and... So I've been getting a wicked farmer's tan.
Oh, yeah. I got the biker's tan.
Today I decided to wear, for lack of a better term, my wife beater.
Uh-huh.
To try and even out the tan, right? Mm-hmm. And I got burned on all the area that was previously had been covered up by the t-shirt and was now exposed.
So now you have like the, it looks like you're wearing a t-shirt over a long sleeve shirt. But your long sleeve shirt is tan and your t-shirt is pink.
Yeah, but okay. I'm also still white where the wife beater was.
A tank top over a t-shirt over a long sleeve shirt.
So it also, I kind of look like Neapolitan ice cream.
Excellent. That sounds that I'm actually a little hungry.
So that's how I am.
Well, that's good. I mean, the 2.5 weeks of Seattle summer have arrived and almost over. So
exactly.
That's always
I'm taking
exciting.
Full advantage of it.
Yeah, another harbinger of summer as people who know me know, I get very excited about the boys of summer, aka the men of Major League Baseball. That sounded different than I wanted it to sound, but
okay.
it's a segue. So come with me. This leads right into my dedication this week. This week, we'll be dedicating the episode to the one and only Felix Hernandez, who today threw the first perfect game in Seattle Mariners history, and I couldn't be prouder. I feel like today should be an official holiday in the city of Seattle, and I feel like Felix Hernandez has established himself as the greatest pitcher in Mariners history today. He's better than Randy Johnson was, and I will stick by that fact, because it is a fact.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the consensus at this point.
Yeah, well, the craziest thing about this, okay, so there have been 23 perfect games in Major League history, right? Three of those perfect games happened this season. So that's never happened before. There's never been three perfect games in one season. But the craziest thing than that is that two of those three perfect games that happened this season happened at Safeco Field.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so the Mariners got a perfect game pitched against them by some no-name from the White Sox. And then today, Felix Hernandez pitches a perfect game at Safeco Field. And the Mariners, earlier this season, at a game that I actually attended, no-hit the Los Angeles Dodgers. So that means there have been three no-hitters pitched at Safeco Field this season. And it's history being made right here in our own backyard, Jesse.
Yeah, that's interesting. I heard someone saying that there was an article or something talking about the decline of hitting in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, post-steroid.
And how it, you know, coincidentally is in the post-steroid era.
Yeah. Well, I think that's hilarious because, you know, today kind of exemplified that point. But at the same time, Melky Cabrera, who's one of the top hitters in baseball, was suspended for 50 games today for a positive drug test.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. I don't know. I think it's interesting. You know, it also plays into a debate. There's a lot of talk here in Seattle that they should move in the fences because Safeco Field is one of the hardest fields to hit at. Like I said, we get 2.5 weeks of summer up here. So most of the time it's cold and humid, and those aren't conducive environments to home runs. And as we all know, this is a home run league. This is a stat-driven league. So they're saying it's really hard to get free agents to come here because historically when we brought in big boppers, you know, guys like Adrian Beltre, and they've struggled a little more than most when they come to Seattle. So people are attributing that you know, these big name hitters don't want to come to Safeco Field. They don't want to come and be a part of the Mariners. So they're talking about moving the fences in.
That's pretty crazy. It's crazy that like that's even an option.
Yeah, I love I love that every team has its own ballpark and it can be whatever dimensions you want.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
Yeah. Like in Boston with the Green Monster, I mean, the left field wall out in Boston is something like 328 feet or something. So it would literally, it's like just past, like the shortstop kind of looks like he's standing in left field at Fenway Park. So they were just like, well, we'll just build a wall that's like 60 feet high. And guys are still hitting home runs over it because it's so close to them.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Baseball's an interesting sport. Congratulations, Felix.
Congratulations to the king. And, you know, the other thing is that the crazy thing is that today my work team, we were supposed to go to the game, but, you know, work got in the way, so we didn't. But that would have been crazy if I would have been at the no-hitter earlier and the perfect game today.
Yeah.
If that, only.
You missed out.
I missed out, man.
You would have been so jazzed.
Oh, my God. I would have been. I was jazzed for the no-hitter. I was jazzed for like 2 days. I couldn't sleep that night because I was so excited. I was like, I will never see another no-hitter in my entire life. I got to see a no-hitter live. And then like 2 months later, Felix pitches a perfect game. And I'm like, damn it.
And you barely miss it.
Barely missed it.
That's a bummer.
Well, we also want to highlight, before we get rolling here, we want to highlight some viewer mail, or I guess some listener mail, that was sent in to us. This one sent in from L. Smitty 2. Last week we were talking about whether or not ligers can mate, and a liger has to be a male lion and a female tiger, and I said it's probably about the barbed penis. But L. Smitty 2 set us straight. Wanted to clarify the barbed penis thing. This is right from L. Smitty. He says, all male cats have barbs, from the lowly house cat to the king of the jungles, lions and tigers included. Female cats are induced ovulators, meaning they do not release an egg unless mated. Being in heat just signals the male that they have eggs that are ready. The purpose of the barbs is to stimulate ovulation and pretty much ensure that a particular male will be the baby's daddy. Also, because of this, each kitten litter can have a different father. The barbs are
that's
actually...
That's so crazy.
That's... My sister has two cats that are brothers, and they're completely different cats. One's like a black and white tuxedo cat, and the other one's this gray, like... It looks like a Russian, like a KGB agent. It's very intimidating.
They're all in James Bond movies, so...
Yeah, exactly. I never thought of it that way. It says the barbs are actually very tiny, and a vet once told me that it's the equivalent of rubbing your skin against a piece of Velcro. Yeah, but I'm still not saying that. That's not something I want to mix with a sexual encounter. Let's keep the Velcro out of the bedroom, cats. So it's not nearly as gruesome as it sounds. Thanks for setting us straight, L. Smitty. We appreciate it. L. Smitty's a new listener, so we're always excited to hear from new listeners. And if you want to write us an email and set us straight on something, because guess what, guys? We're wrong a lot. You can go ahead and email us at personalarrogance@gmail.com. And another thing you could do, you can rate and review us on iTunes. And we did get a new rating here. And it's actually a new/old rating. This is from our old friend TJ Hawk. A while back, we had a rate and review drive, and we promised some totes. So TJ Hawk said, I still haven't gotten my free tote. And TJ Hawk, that's because we're still in the development phase for those. So we have some designs that we're vetting right now, but it's going to be at least 2-3 years before we finalize the totes. But as soon as we get them, we'll send them off. Second is, he says, I shouldn't like this podcast because it's the exact opposite of who I am. I am/was a jock. I have a bunch of kids. I'm about 10 years older than Jesse and Eric. I am a devout Catholic. I am still trying to grasp what all these con conventions are. I live in a flyover state. I do not know what a 20-sided die is. And to that I say, I'm with you on all of those, actually. Jesse, I think that pretty much describes us, don't you?
Well, except for the 20-sided die thing, I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, I think so too. but he says, but I'm pretty sure this is the best podcast on iTunes. Aw, thanks. The recommendation is from Jim Jones, and the other guy was surprisingly correct. Now send me my tote. Your tote is in the mail, okay, TJ Hawk? And thank you for your rating. If you rate and review us on iTunes, we'll also read your rate and review. So you can email us at personalarrogance@gmail.com. You can write and review us on iTunes. You can catch us on Twitter at Personal Podcast. You can comment on our stuff over at baldmove.com. There's so many ways to get in touch with us. Why aren't you talking to us?
You just went back into fundraiser mode.
I did. I'm sorry.
To rate drive.
The rate. the rate drive. So please get on that and talk to us, because we'd love to talk to you. And if you just if you want us to hear your voice and play your voice on the podcast, give us a call, 360-362-0024, and we'll play your voicemail on the podcast. That's it. That's all. That's all my my rate drive for today. So Jesse, what are you drinking?
Well, I'm drinking something that I've never had before. It's called Axes of Evil, and that's AXES.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a cartoony picture of people chopping each other up with axes.
Okay.
It's from Gigantic Brewing Company, which is out of Portland.
I love their stuff, dude. That's like a new brewery right on the scene that I really dig big time.
This is the first time I've had anything by them.
I love their stuff.
But I was reading the description of it, and one thing that's real interesting is that the malts, I guess they do their own malting, and they use Welsh coal to malt the English grain. So they're purists in that way. That's down to the very coal. But at the end of the description here, it says, brewed for those of us that live and die in the Timbers Army and Section 8. And I don't know how I feel about that.
You're drinking the Timber beer?
I'm drinking the Timber beer.
You understand that Red Hook as the ECS, the Emerald City Supporter, Seattle Sounders beer.
I know.
I could support Gigantic Brewery. I cannot support the Timbers. this is a very sports heavy show. This week I'm gonna be I am drinking the Sierra Nevada, just a regular old pale ale, but this is a great summer classic. And it's also a fall classic and a spring classic. So you can get all year round. I love this stuff. I did have some Twilight Ale from Deschutes earlier, but I drank it all up, and that batch is delicious this year. So jump on that, because that's their summer seasonal and it's gonna be going fast. All right.
Well, that's great. I think we should do a little time at roll off and get the show cooking.
Let's do a little tiny mat roll off. We're gonna each roll a 20-sided die, I'm using a new die this week because I've been on a little bit of a funk lately. So hopefully this all works out. Whoever rolls highest gets to talk first. Let's give it a roll.
I rolled a 17, Eric.
Damn it! I rolled a 3.
Streak continues.
Law of averages. Okay, what's your first topic, J Dog?
Well, I'm going to tell you a little story, and then we can discuss how the story was reported, because it's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
On July 11th, a man named Hamza Bajwa allegedly went to Fordham University, which I guess is in Massachusetts, to make a transaction. He was going to buy close to 5 billion magic coins, which are the RuneScape currency.
Okay.
And he was going to pay $3,300 in real life money.
Okay.
So the guy who was selling the coins, he didn't go himself. I guess he stayed at home and sent his friend to go collect the money.
Okay.
While he waited to make the transaction. And during the transaction, Hamza allegedly was using some currency that seemed fishy, that mm-hmm. didn't seem like real American money, and the guy called him out on it, and he suddenly left, said he had to leave, and however, they wanted to continue the transaction the next day.
Okay.
So the next day, Hamza allegedly comes back, and the other guy brought a real $100 bill to compare it to his money,
uh-huh.
and, you know, just to be like, show him what a real $100 bill looks like and not get gypped. At which point, allegedly, Hamza pulled out a BB gun that looked like a real firearm and forced him to make the transaction anyway without paying any money, and robbed this guy of 5 billion of this RuneScape currency.
Okay.
So now he's being prosecuted and faces up to 15 years in jail for stealing.
Yeah, that's grand
RuneScape
theft.
Money.
That's grand yeah. theft.
Exactly. That's what it is. Yeah. So this was reported in the New York Post, nypost.com.
Okay.
And let me tell you how they decided to open up this article.
Okay.
This is their quote. He turned to real life crime to feed his virtual addiction.
Mm.
And they basically play this whole thing out like he's a video game addict, and this was his desperate attempt to get a fix.
God.
It's really bizarre, especially since I've never played RuneScape, but I'm guessing you don't need 5 billion coins in that game.
Well, apparently it's a free-to-play online multiplayer game. One of these online multiplayer MMORPGs.
Yeah, and it's browser-based. I did a little research to see what RuneScape's all about.
Right.
But it's just really weird that they decided to paint this. I mean, it's pretty obvious what happened here, right?
Is. Yeah.
He saw a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
He used a fake gun to steal that commodity for profit, presumably.
Yep.
It's not like he was going to go spend all 5 billion of these coins in the RuneScape store.
Right.
And I don't know, like, what is it, do you think, that makes them decide to make it, like, a video game addiction thing?
It's always a video game thing. I mean, it always comes back to this. It's like, you know, I saw this great political cartoon that was posted on Reddit, like, last week, and it was like, you know, shooter kills 7 people. Apparently, he was really into guns, played video games, and had suicidal tendencies. And then the other person's like, video games, you say? Like, it's like, that's what you're gonna hone in on. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
We live in a society where video games are villainized at every turn, but the fact of the matter is video games are becoming way too mainstream to keep pulling this shit. Like, I mean, I think the fact that there is a commodity within a video game that is worth that much money is a pretty amazing thing, and it shows how far video games have really come. I mean,
yeah, it is really weird, especially when you think about, like, Chinese gold farming. There are people mm-hmm. that, like, play World of Warcraft and just farm World of Warcraft gold and support themselves in the real world using that.
Well, you heard about the Chinese gold mining slaves, right? Basically, they had some prisoners who were doing that for free.
Wow.
They were mining World of Warcraft gold. This is a virtual world. I mean, it's absolutely crazy that we've gotten to the point where you can actually steal in-game items in real life.
Yeah. When I used to play World of Warcraft, I was friends with a Chinese gold farmer, and he was hilarious.
That sounds like the greatest memoir of all time. I was friends with a Chinese gold farmer.
We would have weird, like, conversations in broken English. And my favorite part about him is he would get on the world chat and try and pick up chicks.
Well, you know, if you can have virtual money, you can have virtual poontang as well.
That's a good point. Yeah. There's more examples of RuneScape-related crime, actually. I looked this up. There was a 23-year-old British man was arrested for stealing people's characters and goods online, I guess by just phishing. I don't know.
Yeah.
In 2007, going away from RuneScape, a gang of Dutch teenagers were arrested after stealing $6,000 worth of virtual furniture. In a game from players of Habbo Hotel, a chat room and gaming website.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, and then there's another one in...
If you get virtual furniture from virtual IKEA, do you still have to assemble it yourself?
You need a virtual Allen wrench.
Yep.
And that costs real life money.
It does.
And then in 2009... someone who was playing, an Australian man who was playing EVE Online, he somehow managed to steal 200 billion of the EVE Online credits, which he used to make a down payment on a house.
Wow.
Yeah. And then finally, my favorite one is in October last year, a Japanese woman was arrested by police. I don't know why it has to say arrested by police. arrested after hacking her virtual husband to death in a virtual game, MapleStory. I don't even know what that means.
Did she kill him in real life?
Well, if you die in MapleStory, you die in real life.
Oh, it's like the MapleStory, like the Matrix.
Very yeah. similar. It's also where you get the Maypole tradition on May Day.
Yeah, exactly. I just think it's great that us nerds we're figuring out new ways to create crime. Like this is just crazy to me. It just shows you that where there's money, there's crime. I mean,
I really want them to make a primetime drama called Nerd Crime.
Nerd Crime, man. I'm just waiting for the Kickstarter money laundering scheme.
Yeah.
I think it's the perfect way to launder money.
That can be an episode of Nerd Crime.
Nerd Crime, baby.
Law and Order Nerd Crime.
Only if I tease it. Ice-T has to be in it. Yo, I'll play World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I'll sell you my virtual money.
I love it. He could be like the bait.
Yeah. Or he could go talk to teenagers. When I was your age, I was just like you, holding up fools taking their gold online. Ganking bitches. Life was good.
Getting BB guns, stealing rune credits.
But there's only two ends to that story. You end up in jail or you end up in the graveyard. And everyone knows when you end up in the graveyard, that does 25% damage to your items.
And everybody starts nodding. Yeah. Oh man. Well, you know, it's a choppy world out there, guys. So when you plug in, be sure to keep an eye out. Let's be vigilant, people.
I just find it weird that if this guy had stolen anything else, it wouldn't be a video game addiction thing. Mm-hmm. It's just that the commodity he chose to steal was a virtual commodity, and now suddenly he's a video game addict trying to get a fix.
Right.
Eh. Yellow journalism.
Yellow journal. Well, it is the New York Post. That is a tabloid, you realize.
I don't know anything about anything.
Well.
Is it really a tabloid?
Yeah, it's a tabloid.
Oh, well,
it's like the closest thing that the United States has to a British tabloid. But I digress. I'm going to move on and just talk about my video game addiction, since that seems to be the topic of the day. So as you know, PAX is coming up in 2 weeks. I can't believe it's so close. I could feel the radiation from the convention center.
I can't believe it's that close either.
I know, 2 weeks. I thought I
really snuck up.
I know, it really snuck up on us. I'm very, very excited about this. So I wanted to talk about today. I kind of want to do a kind of a lead up to PAX as it becomes closer and closer. We're going to have a great PAX this year. We got, of course, a great Aaron Kirchhoff coming out from the Breaking Good podcast. He's going to come out to Seattle, hang out with us. He's going to do a little podcasting with us. We also got Yuri Walkiev and the Hex 19 crew are coming down. It's going to be a big deal, and we're very, very excited about it. But we're doing this lead up to PAX. And so this week I want to focus on video games and the video games that I hope to see there. And that I'm most excited about. It's kind of crazy, Jesse. I haven't bought a video game this year.
You have not?
No.
Hmm.
The last video game I bought was Skyrim.
That's the last one I bought, too, now that I think about it. Except I bought a ton of them on Steam sale.
Well, yeah.
Bought a console game.
Yeah,
I haven't gone to a store and bought a disc.
Right. But unfortunately for me, there's a wind is a brewing in the West, and there are some big games that I wanted all year and I'm very eagerly anticipating. And I kind of just want to get your take on it and see if you're excited about any of these at all. And I'm going to go in chronological order. So I'm going to start off on August 28th. So that's 2 days before, 2 or 3 days before PAX. You're in my favorite sports simulator, Madden, is going to be released to the world. Now, are you excited for Madden 13? Are you going to get it?
I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
Madden 12, it was a little janky. Just I think the lockout,
yeah, it was
walkout, yeah, had something to do with that.
It was wonky, man. There are so many like little things in that game that I find so, they're just kind of funny. Like,
yeah,
they show like a huddle and they show the quarterback in the huddle, like, calling the play before they kick off the ball. And, like, little things like that are really weird in that game. So hopefully they polished all that stuff out. Are there any features in Madden 13 that you want to see that weren't in Madden 12?
Oh, geez. I don't know. I don't really care about the features so much.
Okay.
I guess I haven't gone that deep, but I just want a good... I want it to be fun when you're playing football. That's all I want.
See, and this is where it sucks you in, Jesse, because I have been in this vicious cycle for quite a while with these sports games, because once you get one, then when the next season rolls around and you're like, hey, I want to play Madden, and you plug it in, you put in the game, and especially, Jesse, now that you're following football, this is an even bigger bug for you, because... you're going to be watching a game, and there's going to be some breakout stars this season. There are always breakout stars, and you're going to be like, I want to play as that guy. And then you get the game, and you put in Madden 12, and he's either a rookie, so he's not in Madden 12, or he was really crappy last year,
yeah.
So he's really crappy in Madden 12. And so you have to get the new game.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. I'm really only getting it because I know you're getting it.
Yeah.
And I want to play ya.
All right. I got to recreate my whole league though. Cuz you know I got the Fargo Badlanders, I got the Santa Fe Enchanters. I got
you
the
You can't import that stuff?
No, the Mexico City Moctezumas. I got to recreate all these teams. But I'm very, very excited about it. So chronologically, the next game that I'm very excited to come out is going to be on October 16th, 2012, and I really can't wait. I know that there's got to be a hands-on for this for PAX, but BioShock Infinite is going to be coming out on October 16th.
Yeah.
And I think this is my most anticipated game of the year. I'm, like, extremely excited about this.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say.
It's like, BioShock is such an excellent game. And, like, BioShock 2, Ken Levine did not have a lot to do with that game. This is, like, Ken Levine's open... This is his Dark Knight. This is Ken Levine's Dark Knight after creating BioShock. So I'm very, very excited to play BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, well, you know, I've never played any of the BioShock games, so.
You've never played BioShock?
No, I never did.
Why not?
I know. It's weird, right?
Yeah, BioShock is the first... I actually came with my Xbox. So it was the first game I played on Xbox. And I, like, put it in at, like, 10:30 at night. And nobody was in my dorm room. And it was very dark. And I was freaked out, and so I didn't play it for like another 2 weeks because I was so scared by the game. But then when I finally played through it, I just could not put it down. It's such a great game, and like just a great single player experience. Like you don't really find that a lot in video games today. It's just that great single player experience, like you find in like a Mass Effect, but of course they kind of botched that. But like that great single player experience, that I feel like that's so valuable. You know, like you with Skyrim.
Yeah, that it really is. I think that's the best experience you can get from a video game is just a fantastic single player experience. Something like in Skyrim, maybe, or yeah. I mean, Red Dead Redemption.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Something like that. So, I don't know. I'm not gonna buy it, but I'll watch you play it.
All right, maybe you could borrow it. You should borrow BioShock, dude. I have.
Yeah, I'll borrow that and I'll play through that in a weekend or something.
All right. Well, I got to get through BioShock Infinite in 1 week because October 20th.
I know.
Borderlands 2.
Oh, that's. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can afford to buy all these games that are coming out. I really want Borderlands 2, but I just don't know if I can afford it.
I know. That's the thing. This is like the last one on my list. But I know Levi's going to get it, and it's just such a great co-op experience. Like, I feel like Borderlands gives you the greatest co-op experience.
It's true. It's really good. I do really want it. I don't know. We'll see if I get it or not.
Regardless,
if you guys all get it, yeah. I might cave.
Dude, regardless, I'm very excited to get a hands-on at PAX. Like, I'm not big on going to the convention floor usually and getting hands-on with games. But, like, I got to get hands-on with Borderlands 2, and I got to get hands-on with BioShock Infinite. Like I really want to play these games.
And that's going to be all you do because those lines are going to be so long.
I know. And then the last one, and this is coming out in December, But of course, there's no official release date yet, but it will be coming out in December for the holiday season. And that, of course, is Halo 4.
Yeah.
Extremely
You know,
exciting.
That's a must-buy for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how
I
could
I think that's a must-buy for all of our immediate friend group.
Yeah, our gamer group is very... It's just a requirement. Because, like, we're going to have to get Halo 4, and then we're going to have to play through it on co-op mode all the way through in one day. And that's just the way it is. I'm very excited about this.
We need to make a fun drinking game for that.
Oh, I was just doing great by myself when we played through Reach. I was pretty lit by the end of that. But
every time Eric gets a friendly fire kill, take a drink.
Every time Eric dies, take a drink. People are
God, we get so drunk.
Yeah, we won't get
protect
drunk
Eric instead of
barf. So, is Halo 4 a hands-on must for you at PAX?
You know, I kind of feel like I'm gonna get it anyway.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's gonna be more Halo. It's not like it's gonna change my life or anything. So I don't think it's a hands-on must.
Yeah, I don't think it's a hands-on must.
It depends how long the lines are. Mm. Halo actually in the past has done pretty well at getting a lot of people to actually have a meaningful experience when they go to PAX. So
yeah, well, it's great because you could just throw everybody into a multiplayer game. Everybody already knows how to play, and you get one game in, and you feel pretty fulfilled. And also, Microsoft does a great job of giving people seats when they play. They're usually like little benches that you could sit on instead of having to stand there after standing in line for 3 hours to play the game.
Yeah. So I would actually like to, if I can, if they're doing multiplayer, it'd be fun to get a multiplayer game of Halo 4 in there.
Yeah. And I'm also excited Assassin's Creed 3 is coming out. I don't think that's a must hands-on for me, but I think I'm really excited about the setting for that because I've always wanted to have a Revolutionary War era game. Honestly, I think that setting is very, very cool. So we'll see how that goes. And there is like a little bit of a rumor floating around Gamescom, and that's They released a PDF on their website. Gamescom is the big, it's basically a PC-centric convention in Germany every year, and they released a PDF on their website that said that announced all of the games that are being announced there, and one of them was Half-Life 3 on the list.
Yeah, apparently.
And if this happens, there's going to be major aneurysms. There's gonna be major head crabs going along with this. I'm kind of thinking that it's not gonna happen, but it sounds like a very if it is, this could possibly be the biggest gaming announcement in a very long time. And I can't imagine that if they announce it at Gamescom that there won't be some kind of Half-Life 3 presence at PAX, because Valve is a company here in Seattle. So
yeah, you'd think that. Who knows?
I'm just getting way too excited for PAX, Jesse.
Well, calm down.
Okay.
Breathe.
Yep.
It'll be here soon.
Okay.
And just take it in stride.
All right. Well, like we said, we will have our Bald Move compatriot, Aaron Kirchhoff, is going to be out here for that. So stay tuned. We always do casts from PAX. We try to do daily wrap-ups. And we do our annual PAXies Awards, where we give out the best, worst, and weirdest of PAX every year. So don't want to miss those episodes as they're coming up in just 2 weeks. So now it's time to move on to our little tiny break in the show. And as we are wont to do on this show, we are going to be playing some Trivial Pursuit trivia. I'm going to go ahead and roll a six-sided die to see which category we'll be questioning this week. And it's 4, which I believe is literature. Arts and literature, our favorite category.
Goody.
So we're going to be playing Genius One of Trivial Pursuit. Please play along at home. And away we go. Jesse, this first question is for you. What actress holds the record for the most appearances on the cover of Life?
Did you actor or actress?
Actress.
I'm going to say Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. I'll say Betty White. She's had quite a life. Elizabeth Taylor.
That was my second guess.
Elizabeth Taylor is the answer. Okay, this one's for me. Please play along at home. What cartoonist created a two-way wrist radio? That would be the cartoonist who created Dick Tracy, I believe, but I have no idea who that is. So I'm going to say Douglas Adams.
I'm going to say Scott Adams.
Okay. Chester Gould. And I meant Scott Adams. I didn't. The Hitchhiker's Guide and Dilbert. I always get those two things mixed up.
Basically the same thing.
Yeah, very similar storylines. So, Jesse, this one's for you. What fabled bird sprang to new life from the ashes of its nest?
The phoenix, obviously.
I'm going to go with Big Bird. Phoenix is correct. You are up 1-0. I got to get this one right or else you win everything this week. And my question is, what was Cinderella's real name? I'm going to go with Margaret?
It wasn't Cinderella?
No, they called her Cinderella because she, like, cleaned a lot, and so she would, like, and cook. So she would have the cinders from the fire, would, like, put ashes on her face.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Samantha.
Ella. All right, Jesse, you win
weird.
Everything this week.
Well, that brings me into my second topic, and I'm going back to, is it worse than a punch in the face?
I love this. I love this so much.
I feel like, Mark, if you're listening, this needs a musical intro.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Shout out to Mark Griffin, who composed our intro and outro music.
Yes, exactly. If this is your first time listening, I will bring up a series of topics and ask Eric whether or not it's better or worse than a punch in the face. So
last week everything was worse than a punch in the face.
Yeah, hopefully this week there'll be some things that aren't quite as bad.
Okay.
So a player was caught cheating at the Scrabble National Championships.
Oh, I heard about this.
He was hiding blank tiles and apparently got busted. It doesn't seem like it's even a good way to cheat because eventually all the tiles are going to be on the board and someone's going to be like, wait a minute, there's 3 blank tiles here.
Exactly. It's got to be a very calculated cheat. Like, basically, I think he would try to use a blank tile as soon as he could and then hope he would get a blank tile. I don't know. I don't understand how this cheat works.
Well, apparently it doesn't because he got busted and kicked out.
Are we sure they aren't cufflinks?
I'm pretty sure. So, Eric, is getting kicked out of the Scrabble National Championships, is that better or worse than getting punched in the face?
I'm going to say that's better.
Okay.
I would rather
better
get
than
kicked,
a punch in the face.
I would rather get kicked out of the Scrabble Championships than get punched in the face.
Okay, so this next one is something taken out of my own life, my own real life.
Mm.
I listen to podcasts a lot, obviously, okay. Mm-hmm. And so I listen at work, which means I have to pause it a lot and talk to someone or do something, and then when I have some downtime, I'll start listening again. I go back and forth a lot, so I'll start and stop a podcast maybe like 10 times.
Uh-huh.
And the play button on my iPod Touch is nestled right between the skip forward button and the skip back button.
Yeah.
And I always hit the back button and it just takes me to the beginning of the podcast.
Damn,
and then I have
it.
To go find exactly where I was again.
Yeah.
It's a huge annoyance. And Eric, is it better or worse than getting punched in the face?
Well, you know, Jesse, this can be solved if you just look at the time code when you pause it, and then you.
I know, but I'm going to do that every time, especially if someone like needs something or is trying to get my attention.
I'm going to say your recovery time on finding where you were in the podcast is going to be quicker than your recovery time from being punched in the face. So I'm going to say that this is better than being punched in the face.
I would take a punch in the face if it meant never having to.
Well, that's
accidentally
one,
hit the butt back button again.
Is this a specific instance or is this every time from now to eternity?
That's you can interpret the question, however.
Okay, well, I'm saying it's better.
Okay, so our friends over in Hungary, mm-hmm. the nation, not the status, of food.
not the emotional state.
So a rising star in Hungary's far right Jobbik Party. The guy's name is Ksanad Szigeti. He was a notorious individual. He was a member of their parliament, and he was very radical in his denouncing of the Jews.
Uh-huh.
He accused them of buying up the country and desecrating national symbols.
This is what's really interesting to me is that politics in other countries, you know, with the multi-party systems and stuff, there are a lot of flaws with the American two-party system, but it's crazy to me in like other countries, like when you know, in this country, we like to throw around terms like socialist or communist or fascist. But in other countries, there are actually socialist, communists, and fascists like in the government, like actually running.
As long
shit.
As they can get like 2% of the vote, they get to send in their skinheads.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is pretty crazy. Well, what's even crazier is this one guy who was kind of a political hotshot on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
He found out that on his mother's side, he's fully Jewish.
That means he's fully Jewish.
Yeah, by Jewish law, he's Jewish.
Because it comes through your mother's line. So if your mom's Jewish, then you're full Jew.
Yeah. So some prisoner found this out and told him, and then this guy, Mr. Szigeti.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to bribe him with a bunch of UN money and a UN job, but apparently this prisoner, he wasn't taking the bribe and exposed him, and now he got kicked out of his own party.
I think that's great. I just think the whole thing is,
is getting kicked out of your neo-fascist party for being actually Jewish and you didn't know it, is that better or worse than getting punched in the face?
Well, for him, it's probably pretty humiliating. But for everyone else, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty hilarious.
That's
so
a good point.
I'm going to, I don't know. Is this a draw? I guess
it's a draw based on point of view.
Cause for him, it's really worse than a punch in the face, but for everybody else, it's just hilarious.
Okay. I have one last one.
Uh-huh.
This is taken again from the pages of my own very life.
Okay.
Say you're cooking a nice meal for yourself or for someone else, and you're excited about it. It's smelling good. It's looking good. You're ready to eat. But before you eat, you think, I'll be wise. I'll do a little bit of cleaning up while the dishes are still warm before they've gotten crusty and nasty. I'll just take the sponge and knock the food off, and then I'll be ready to eat.
Okay.
And say you're making a hamburger. You sit down to eat your hamburger, and you bring the food to your mouth, and you realize, I got sponge hands.
Sponge hands, man.
The flavor and the scent of your delicious meal is totally overridden by your now stinky sponge hands.
Is it stinky sponge? Is there a hint of soap?
There's a hint of soap.
Oh,
and
God.
It's just that unique sponge smell.
Yeah.
So my question to you, is that better or worse than receiving a punch to the face?
Worse. Definitely worse.
Yeah, I agree.
Sponge hands, oh my God. So, like, there's also, you know, some people like to cook, like, if there's stuff that's been caked onto a pan, they like to cook it on the stove in, like, hot water. They'll just, like, simmer it for, like, a couple hours, maybe put a little bit of soap in there. That is the worst smell I've ever smelled. It's, like, hot, simmering soap and food grease.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
That's basically sponge hands.
Yeah, that's sponge hands, man.
Ugh, I hate sponge hands so much.
Yeah, plus they're like just a little bit moist.
Yeah,
let's just all just getting right into that bun.
Man. Ruins the whole meal.
Yeah.
I keep falling for sponge hands. See, I think I'm smart and getting ahead of the cleanup ball.
Mm-hmm.
But no luck.
Well, you know, you could also use a paper towel. Be anti-environment.
That's true. I do hate the environment.
Yeah. We really need to. You should focus on that. It'll solve all your problems.
my hatred of the environment.
Yes. Jesse, for my second topic this week, I'm going to give you an option. I'm going to give you three topics, and you get to pick which one we talk about. Okay? This is a little bit of like a Jeopardy category. So you're going to pick our category. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay. First category is beer rock obirma. Second category is dance till you drop. And third category is unintelligible masterpieces.
Hmm. I'm going to go with the first one.
All right. Beer rock obirma. This is going to be something that I think you're going to be very excited about.
That's why I chose it.
All right. Well, apparently, so Barack Obama, President Obama, he is campaigning, as one is wont to do when they are an incumbent political candidate. And he's going around now. A couple days ago, he went to the Iowa State Fair. And for some reason, Obama at this point is really focused on beer, on mentioning beer. So a couple days ago, he went to the Iowa State Fair and he bought a Bud Light for himself. And he also bought 10 Bud Lights for the 10 people behind him. And then a day later, he was talking to a guy at an Iowa diner about his own homebrewing operation. And I'm not talking about the guy's homebrewing operation. I'm talking about our president's homebrewing operation. Apparently, Obama is the first president in history to set up a homebrew operation in the White House.
Yeah, it's true. It's pretty exciting stuff.
It is.
Although I feel like Andrew Jackson probably had a home still.
Yeah,
but they just didn't talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it does. It's not a. This is strictly beer.
Yeah,
I think Teddy Roosevelt had a bathtub of that shit.
Did you see all the pictures about like the everything that had to be done before he went and purchased the beer?
Yeah, it's crazy. And I was thinking because a Redditor actually served him the beer at the fair, so
yeah.
She took pictures of like the entire process. Of, like, the Secret Service coming up, a bomb-sniffing dog checking the whole, you know, checking all the beer taps to make sure there wasn't a bomb in there. And then they, like, chose her. They're like, you are going to be selling this beer.
Yeah.
You know.
And they, like, wanded everyone down.
Yeah, they wanded everyone down. It's just crazy. And I was just thinking, that happens everywhere he goes.
That's I know. Be how, like the precursor. How crazy would that be for you? Like, that would drive me nuts. I would, like, run. I would sneak away from my security guards.
I know. It's like First Kid.
Just. It's exactly like First Kid, Eric. It's exactly like that.
It is.
Here's the thing, though. It's like, is this Al Qaeda's new plan? Like, they've planted a bunch of people around yeah. state fairs nationwide yeah. With the hopes.
Well,
that,
I mean,
President Obama will show up.
It is where politicians go. Nobody likes a stump speech as much as a state fair.
Well, remember, in like the 2000 election, it was either 2000 or 2004. Like the big decider factor for a lot of Americans was like which presidential nominee would you rather get a beer with?
Yeah,
and it was George W. Bush.
Oh, absolutely. And this is a very interesting stat. Actually, the Washington, I believe it's the Washington Post, they did a little bit of a study on this, and it's pretty interesting. Apparently, 47% of independent voters have had a beer in the last week, as opposed to like 40% of Republican voters and like 38% of Democrat voters. So
wow. the beer is the great indecider.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Indecisive? Grab a beer.
Let's see. Should I vote for Barack Obama? Should I vote for Mitt Romney? Fuck it. I'm voting for Miller High Life tonight.
I'm voting for Sam Adams.
Yeah, exactly. That's a better example.
it is interesting to me, though. Barack Obama, he always drinks Bud Light when he's in public. And I'm like, I understand that, like, as a politician, you don't want to be, like, snooty. But, I mean, it is supporting a small business if you drink microbrew. And I could understand if you don't want to look soft or whatever. You may not want to drink a Seattle or a Portland microbrew. But just get a microbrew from, like, Texas. Like, grab a Shiner Bock or something. Like,
yeah.
Bud Light,
or,
that's
or...
not... It's not even an American beer anymore.
A Black Star Lager. Yeah, that's the craziest part, is that that's not owned by an American company. I will bet you someone's done studies and like has prepped like what is the beer to buy if you want to get elected.
Oh, I'm sure. Because he also, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a beer summit that happened in 2009. And basically there was an incident. There was a lot of racial tension in it. A wealthy African-American man got locked out of his house, and so he tried to break in, and he got arrested for trying to break into his own house. And there was a lot of racial tension around it because one of his neighbors called him in. Obama had a beer summit where they all kind of sat down for a beer, and it was a little bit of a photo op. But in there, Obama also drank Bud Light.
Yeah, a little bit of a photo op.
Yeah. I don't know. I am excited that they've set up a homebrew operation in the White House. This is the first reported homebrew operation in the White House. Of course, George Washington had his beer recipe, which I think we talked about on a previous podcast, which had a stifer full of bran hops to taste, which he boiled 3 hours and then strained out 30 gallons into a cooler and put in 3 gallons of molasses while the beer is scalding hot, then let it stand until it is more than blood warm, and then put in a quart of yeast, and then just let it ferment for 24 hours and then put it in a cask. But
yeah, cask condition, baby.
But Obama, he's making a honey beer, which I'm also like, guys, let's just have an IPA.
I guess he's not a hophead.
I guess not. I do think it's cool, and I hope this is a tradition that carries on. Because apparently it's just done by the White House catering staff. They're the ones who actually make the beer. But it's made with honey that is harvested from the White House's bees. Apparently there are bees kept there.
Oh, they have bee boxes? I really want to start keeping bees.
This is like the weirdest thing to be. This whole story has really opened my eyes that the White House is like some kind of weird like Neverland ranch.
It really is. Except there's like a tube underground to the Pentagon and a bomb shelter.
Exactly.
Although Neverland Ranch, you never know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Neverland Ranch goes down to like those underground Area 51 bases. I just think that it's so weird that like we have a homebrew operation and we have bees. Like, what do you have, a trampoline? You have your movie theater? Like, what is this?
It seems like they should have a swimming pool.
It's the world's coolest home office, basically.
That's true. How many people live at the White House? Is it just the president's family?
No, I'm sure there's a lot of people who live there. Plus, that'd be weird. Yeah, I know. I'm sure it's super weird. It's like the weirdest.
Does the vice president live at the White House?
No, I think that technically, I'm sure there's like, I don't know. Maybe they're the only people who sleep there.
That'd be weird if they're like, hey, roomie.
Yeah, it's really strange. But it's where our president resides. So
I feel like I wouldn't want to live there. Like, the White House can't be your home. It's like, I live at the White House. It's not the White House is my home.
Yeah. Well, George Bush didn't. He had the ranch.
That's a good point. See, that's what I would do. I'd just ranch it up.
Just ranch it up. All right. Well, I think we've vetted our topics enough for this week. So I'll put those other two topics in the coffer, and maybe we'll see if they win in a future episode. But now I think it's time to do some recommendations. What do you say?
I agree, Eric. My first recommendation is, well, we kind of covered it at the beginning of the show, but get sunburned while you can.
Yeah, that's true, man. Nobody's getting sunburned in December unless you hit the slopes.
Yeah, or you go to Australia. But, yeah. I mean, summer's almost over, so get that sunburn.
Get that burn. Get a healthy burn.
Get the burn on. Yeah. Feel the burn, baby.
My first recommendation, it's going to be a little bit of a shopping recommendation for all those guys out there who are trying to look snazzy but are also trying to be on a budget. This is something I've done before, and I really enjoy it, and I'm actually doing it for my wedding, and it's going to be overstock.com for suits. If you want a suit, go to overstock.com.
We are all wearing zoot suits, right?
We're going to be wearing yellow zoot suits with a feather, but I don't know where to put the feather yet. I'm debating a couple of areas.
That totally determines the course of the marriage.
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, a feather in the armpit means something completely different than a feather sticking out of your shoulder. Uh-huh. But I want a nice long pheasant feather, I'm thinking. Either that or a peacock strut.
Well, the peacock is for wealth, and the pheasant is for fertility.
Oh, okay.
So that's very important.
Tough call.
Yeah. So my recommendation is, seriously, guys, wear sunblock. This is no fun.
I know, it's the worst. It's so bad. I've avoided it this summer, and I've actually have a pretty healthy bike tan. So it's like a farmer's tan, except it's shorts instead of jeans. So you get a little bit of a leg tan.
Yeah, my legs are still pasty white.
Yeah, I have like a nice, it's a nice base coat, I think. I think I'm going to avoid the burn this summer, which is good.
Nice.
Nothing's worse than the itchy burn when you're trying to sleep.
Yeah, that sucks. It feels like you're wearing a wool blanket, like, no matter what.
Yeah.
I have a Neapolitan chest and albino legs.
And, you know, Neapolitan chest and vanilla legs.
Yeah, extra vanilla down south.
You're two scoops of... Never mind.
Yeah, anyway,
I will say, if you are in that situation, I do have a remedy for that. It's a home remedy, and it actually works. If you have the itchy sunburn and you can't sleep, take a blow dryer and put it on the cool setting. And then just cool yourself off with that. Because basically what the itch is that you're trying to sweat, but you can't sweat through your glands without it itching. Mm-hmm. And because it's usually hot. So if you just cool yourself down with a nice cool blow dryer, then all will be well with the world.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh. I might be taking part of that tonight.
Okay. Well, my recommendation, this is going to be an oldie but a goodie. I know we've recommended and talked about this on the podcast before, but for any new listeners out there, you know, this week we talked about video games. Next week I'm going to try to make it a point to talk about board games. But one of our favorite board games, and one that you really have no reason not to own, is Battle for Hill 218.
Nice.
And it's not even a board game. It's a card game. But it retails for about $5.
Yeah, so cheap.
And it is a great two-player game that you can just play for hours and hours. It's just a strategic war game that's really, really fun.
Yeah.
So I'm throwing my 2 cents that way.
Yeah, that's a great recommendation. Ooh. Underrated, that game.
Very underrated.
I feel like I've played it in public like dozens of times. Yeah. And I've always had people be like, what's that game? Oh, that looks interesting. I've never had someone be like, oh, Battle for Hill 218.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an indie hero.
It is an indie hero. So, so with that, we're also, as always, going to recommend the Bald Move Network. We're a member of the Bald Move Network, and so are all of your favorite TV podcasts. So be sure to go to baldmove.com and get all your TV fixes. Right now, featured is the Breaking Good podcast, which is the number one Breaking Bad podcast on the internet. So so be sure to go over there. And I think that's about it. Do you have anything else, Jesse?
No, I just like that. It's the number one Breaking Bad podcast on the internet, but there's a lot of offline podcasts that are just smoking it in numbers.
Yeah, you have to mail order them.
The mail order podcasts are just really killing them.
Yeah, you have to mail order it, and they send you a cassette tape. It's four cassette tapes per episode. Yeah, the Breaking Analog cast.
It costs $25 shipping and processing.
So that's about all we have for this week. We'd like to thank you for joining us for another week here on the Personal Arrogance Podcast. And please remember to keep in touch. And we'd like to remind you that wherever you go
and whatever you do,
please stay
arrogant.